Dave and Ryan's movie review and action.
Everyone loves going to the movies. And while some are amazing, some are awful. Fortunately, we have Dave and Ryan, two guys with nothing better to do than watch movies of today and movies of yesterday. So get your popcorn ready, silence your phones, and relax, because the show is about to begin.
Cue Dave and Ryan in 3, 2, 1.
It's Dave and Ryan's movie review.
Sponsored by the Plan Z Diet. Conquer the crave with Plan Z, the diet that helps you lose weight and keep it off with real food, support, and no exercise.
Welcome in to another edition of Dave and Ryan's movie review, brought to you by the Plan Z Diet, Take 92.
Dave and Ryan.
My goodness.
How are you feeling from last week, Dave? Are you alive? Are you kicking? You go
I'm
see a doctor?
I'm still recovering. I'm going to the doctor on Monday, but that was a regularly scheduled appointment, so
okay. We'll see. Everything's still ticking?
I've had really tremendous headaches all week long.
That's just natural.
But it's only when you're around.
I'll see myself out.
I don't know what that means. I'm still perplexed by it. But no, things are going okay. If you don't know, I attempted to watch the first 33 movies of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I made it 44 hours without sleep.
Yeah.
That was the end of it. I needed to go another, 34?
Yeah.
Didn't see it happening.
I think out of that amount of time, I stayed up for probably 25 hours.
We figured you were up about 24 or 25. Jordan was up about 24 or 25.
Yeah, just working the behind the scenes stuff.
Right. So, my time is trying to break that record is done. It's over. Not going to do it.
He's dust in the wind.
Yes, Father Time is undefeated, as far as I understand. So we're done with that, and we're on to the next one. We got somebody out there that's crazy enough that thinks he can do it.
Yeah, next thing Dave's going to attempt is we're going to bury him alive.
I wasn't around for that one.
Well, surprise!
all right. Well, we'll look forward to that one as well.
But we're going head first.
Okay.
So your feet will be dangling out.
So I can't breathe.
We'll have a hose.
Okay, perfect. All right, so how's your week been?
It's been going good. Did soccer game on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
We went to, soccer and
softball. Yeah,
that was good. I went and checked out the tennis and track competition that was going on the last 2 days.
Lots of fun.
Yeah.
Spring sports have sprung. If it would just act like spring outside.
It snowed a little on us on Friday.
Yeah. If it would just act like spring outside, we'd be okay.
I know. You know, the tilting of the earth is still, in progress. So
inconvenient.
I know.
So inconvenient. All right, you ready to get this started?
Let's do it,
Dan. All right, first thing we're going to do, we're going to take a trip, and we're going to go to Hollywood.
Welcome to Hollywood Boulevard, the place of glitz, glamour, and dreams. Just kidding. This place is a dump. That's why Dave and Ryan come here each week. You get the news from Hollywood without fearing for your life on the Walk of Fame. It's This Week in Hollywood.
All right, so this one I found interesting. It came out this week. Can Superman handle the pressure?
No.
Okay. With recent losses like Joker, Fall of Doom, which I watched over the weekend, by the way. When I was in recovery. I watched.
I was like, that wasn't on the list, Dave.
That movie is a musical.
Yeah.
Anybody wants to say anything about it, come talk to me. I'm right here.
So who is the new Superman?
The new Superman is David Cornsweet.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he will after this. Okay. But anyway, and movies that will never be released like Batgirl and Coyote versus Acme. That one sounded fun.
I saw a thing the other day that a guy dressed up as Wile E. Coyote and was protesting in front of Warner Brothers. Yeah,
that one actually sounded kind of fun.
Yeah, that one would have been interesting.
Anyway, the studio is putting a lot of pressure on this summer's release of Spider-Man. It even said it could decide whether the studio makes it or if it would open up for another studio to purchase it.
Spider-Man?
So Discover Warner Brothers may be going away. Warner Brothers Studios.
Oh, is Disney going to buy them too?
I don't know. I don't see why they would. They have nothing that they want, so to speak. I guess they do have Harry Potter.
Maybe Universal will.
Maybe. Maybe Universal should, since, you know.
Yeah, they have.
Warner Brothers is home to Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So maybe Universal
Studios has Harry Potter Land.
So that's just a lot of pressure to be putting on this movie. I don't know as though one movie can clean up a bunch of mistakes. Do you? It's a lot of pressure to put on one movie.
In the last 5 to 10 years, what has Warner Brothers put out that's been...
Other than Barbie, nothing.
Yeah. There's got to be something. Huh.
Barbie was like, and they even said that that was like an anomaly for Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. Especially now that Nolan's left them.
Yeah. Well, doesn't Warner Brothers have a lot of TV shows?
They do have a lot of TV products, yes. Hmm. But their movie studio part, I mean, and the people that they put in place haven't even been there that long. So it's not looking good for them.
Maybe they should just like scale down.
Maybe every studio should scale down. We've talked about this how many times? How many times have we talked about this?
Yeah.
They're putting so much into these movies that,
and
you know.
You don't need to pay an actor like $12 million or $30 million to make a movie. That's just ridiculous.
It is. It is. They've got plenty of money. They'll be okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that because that's coming up in July, that movie releases. So, I don't know. I don't know if, like I said, I don't know as though one movie could save a studio.
We'll see.
We will see if James Gunn has it in him to put everything on his back and carry it through. Wouldn't it be funny if like James Gunn stuck it out and became like the studio executive for Warner Brothers, like as a whole, not just the DC part of it?
That would be interesting. That would be very interesting.
We'll see. We'll see. Another one, Netflix, looking at Daniel Craig for Greta Gerwig's Chronicles of Narnia movie.
Why?
I don't know. Although they haven't ever mentioned the role that they want for him, there is talk amongst his people and Netflix that they want him to appear in this film, which is actually slated to be released in Thanksgiving of next year.
Speaking of Netflix, they just had a cool movie come
Electric
out.
Electric State.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to watch
that
one.
Did you ever read any of those books?
Uh-uh.
They were good.
Maybe we should review that one next week.
Okay.
So we'll give that one a watch. Chris Pratt and Millie Bobby Brown.
Yep.
And now that she's over 18, I can say not a bad thing to look at.
Wow, Dave.
I know.
Wow.
I know. Sorry. Singer-songwriter Charlie XCX is rumored to be in the mix for The White Queen. Do we need it?
Like, the last Chronicle of Narnia movies, the first one was okay, and then it just got weird.
You know, something just
there was like Voyager, Dawn Treader, and something else. It was just weird.
Something just popped into my mind because of who they had play him in those movies. What if they're looking at Daniel Craig to be the voice of Aslan, the lion? Because that was Liam Neeson in those.
Yeah, Daniel Craig doesn't really have a distinguished voice like that, though.
He could. He's an actor.
No.
How about Trevor Slattery?
No. Get out, Dave.
So
get out!
We'll see where that takes us to. Am I interested in watching it? Maybe.
No,
maybe I'll watch it.
Not.
I don't know. You know what did come on Netflix that I will be watching either today or tomorrow?
What's that?
And you're going to be like, why? Kraven the Hunter came out
on
Netflix.
Oh, I saw that.
So
it piqued my interest, but then I saw...
Slightly? Or
no.
Okay.
But then I saw that the Lord of the Rings Rohirrim is on Max.
That's on Max, yeah. So is Heretic.
Yeah, and so I was like, I'm going to watch those instead.
So plenty to keep an eye on at home while you're streaming the rest of the weekend. All right, projections for this week. This movie looks fun to me. I'm sorry. I just enjoy movies with gratuitous violence. I know we've had this conversation before. Novocaine. The Jack Quaid movie, we did a reaction for the trailer. It's projected to do between $10 and $12 million.
Yeah, you know, going back and watching the trailer, this reminds me of that Jason Statham movie. Where,
Crank.
Yeah, where he had to stay charged.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like just, you know, he can't feel pain.
Right.
It'll do good. I think it'll get the young crowd out.
I think it's funny because in the trailer, the guy, it's Ned from the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
You can still die.
You're not Wolverine.
So what are you thinking?
I'm going to go with 13.
All right. Ryan says 13. I'm going to go 15. I'm feeling a little frisky this weekend.
Okay.
All right, so let's do a look at the box office for the week that was. Paddington in Peru comes in at number 5 with $3.7 million, bringing its total to $36.8. The Monkey comes in at number 4, bringing its total to $31 million with a week of 3.9, excuse me.
These your words.
Yep. Last Breath comes in at number 3, bringing in $4 million, bringing its total to $14.5 million. And Captain America gets knocked from the top spot. Captain America Brave New World, $8.3 million for the week, and brings its total to $176.4. It's clocking at $370 million worldwide. So yeah, we'll see how that one does.
I doubt it's going
to
be...
Does it have enough steam to get another $10 million?
I think it's going to drop to either number 4... or 5 next week.
I think it will definitely drop to 3 at least. Because number 1 was Mickey 17, the movie we're going to review. Comes in at $19 million. So, why did we not say anything about last week's projection? Because it was for Mickey 17.
Yep.
They were projecting a opening weekend of $17 to $18 million. I took the middle of the road. I took 18. Ryan took 21 million. So, we're calling that a wash.
Yeah.
We did pretty good on that one.
Yeah, it wasn't like some of them where we're like way off.
Right, like not even in the ballpark.
Yeah.
Like we're sitting on the first base line and somebody and the projections clear out in left field or right field or something.
We're sitting on the 50-yard line and it's baseball season.
That's right. Exactly.
Where is everybody?
Exactly. All right, before we get into what's happening this week, we got to do an honest movie review. And, you know, we haven't talked about this movie in a while.
I hate this movie so much.
It's now time for another honest movie review. Today, we go back to 2019 and look at Cats, the musical fantasy based on the Andrew Lloyd Webber stage musical.
Tonight is a magical night where I choose the cat that deserves a new life.
Going to the ball could get dangerous.
Actual functioning adults were given millions of dollars for a budget. They sat in a room and really thought this was a good idea. I watched this movie with my cats, and when it was over, they started barking. Can't wait to speak with you again next week.
So this movie, I'll tell you what, I can't even say I had the pleasure of going and seeing the musical because it is just a terrible musical.
I don't want anything to do with this movie. It looks so bad. It's got Taylor Swift in it. She's a horrible cat. It's got, what is his name? The late night host.
Oh, Corden?
Yeah.
He's gone, though, so we don't have to worry about him anymore.
He played a horrible cat. It's just a bad movie, and the whole premise of the movie is just, it's just, no.
It is. I actually, and here's the thing.
You said you saw the musical?
I did. I saw the musical, and it's a terrible time to wait for one song, and they kill you because it reminds you of like a real video on Facebook. You see something, and it catches your eye.
It's clickbait.
You're like, okay, I'm going to watch this. All right. Well,
Five minutes later, you're like, why did I click on this?
Been here for a minute already. Then the payoff comes and it's the last thing. So everybody goes to see Cats for the final song for Memory. That's the big song from Cats that everybody, you know Memory, don't you?
No.
Moonlight, Not a Sound for the Pavement.
No.
Anyway, everybody goes to see it for that song. It's the last song in the show.
I hate this show.
It's one of those things that you could show up after intermission, and you'd be just fine. It's like when you go to a concert and you don't care about the opening act.
Show up to the movie theater 2 hours late. I'm here.
That's right. Oh, perfect. Just in time. All right. So today, as I said, we're going to do a review of Mickey 17. I went and saw that one. Ryan went and saw it. Not a bad movie.
Not a bad movie.
A little bit different. And then since it deals with that, we're going to talk about cloning movies. I've got one and Ryan's got one. And then I've got some others that we're going to discuss as well. And then, since it's Monday, St. Patrick's Day flicks.
Oh, top of the morning.
And I guarantee you that something is going to happen in this segment that nobody else has ever done, period.
Uh-oh.
So that gives you something to look forward to.
I'm honestly surprised that neither one of us is hungover.
Not yet. Not yet.
Because, you know, St. Patrick's Day is on Monday, so they celebrated it.
We're starting.
Yeah.
We're starting early.
Party!
So when we come back, we'll have the review of Mickey 17 on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, brought to you by the Plan Z Diet.
Everyone on set, shut up. Shut up. These two buffoons are about to talk about a new release. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, Segment 1. Action.
What's more exciting than a brand new release to the movie theater? According to Dave and Ryan, nothing. They're the first to see it, so you're the first to hear about it.
All right, welcome back. We went and saw, is it seen or saw?
Sun.
Okay, we went and sun. Mickey 17 in theaters right now. Rated R, 2 hours and 17 minutes. Robert Pattinson, Steven Yeun, Mark Ruffalo, and Tony Colletti. You know, this is actually an interesting story. It all starts really on the planet Earth.
Yeah, basically, they owe money.
Hey, if you were going to go into business and open just a macaron shop, I think you could make it. I would probably eat all the profits. That's just me. But him and Robert Pattinson and Steven Yeun went in together to open this store. And Steven Yeun put Robert Pattinson's name on all of the paperwork when they were borrowing money from a scrupulous person.
Yes.
So they figure the best way to do this, or Robert Pattinson at least figures the best way to do this, is to become an expendable and go to the planet Niflheim.
Yeah, well, it was the only job available to him.
Yes.
His character had a pilot's license?
I think so.
So he got accepted, and then basically he had no skills. So
he had to be an expendable.
Yeah, an expendable is basically a guy who does all the... He did all the dangerous jobs, and basically, if he died, they had copied his mind and his DNA or whatever, and they would print out a new one.
Just print out a new one.
And download the mind.
But what happens is that it takes place on Earth when there is a lot of things that are going on. Was it the guy that invented the machine that went around and became a mass murderer?
Yeah, so, yeah, He was one of the scientists that developed it, and then he got arrested for murder, but he had an alibi because he was at like this children's event when the murder happened. And so they found the murderer, and it was a copy of him.
So, yeah.
And then there was another murder because there was three copies.
He just kept printing himself off.
Yeah, and so basically it became outlawed to have multiple copies. It was... Multiples?
Yes.
Is what they said, and basically, you can't have multiples because you're bad and they would kill you all.
Well, and you can't clone either. That's where Mark Ruffalo comes in, because he has the idea, if we take this off-planet and create a civilization and we use them to do our work, then we can monitor it there.
Yeah, we can control it.
So that's what happened. So
Mark Ruffalo in this movie was amazing.
He was.
He was like a cult leader / politician / idiot.
Well, that's what I told my wife. I said he had that cult leader Sunday television preacher vibe about him.
Televangelist.
Yes, he did, definitely. The hair doesn't help. And his wife is just out to lunch. So that really...
It's all about the sauce.
It's all about the sauce. And I love her in anything. Toni Collette is one of my favorite actresses. And yeah, so that kind of sets everything up. Well, one day he goes out and Robert Pattinson is out and they think that he's dead.
Yeah, he falls
into a crevasse.
Into a little ice cavern.
And they think he's dead. So, of course, they print out another one. Well, lo and behold, there are these creatures.
Yeah, they're like worms slash centipedes slash...
They look like a roly pill bug because they can roll up. But anyway...
Like a slug looking thing.
Something like that. But they go through and they save Robert Pattinson's life.
Yeah, well, at first he was mad because... He's like, what, is my meat not good enough?
He just wanted to die.
Yeah.
I'm not bad. I don't taste bad.
Yeah, so he ends up making his way back to the ship where he crawls into bed, and lo and behold,
there's Robert Pattinson.
Another one of him in there.
So now we have a multiple situation.
And apparently the multiples, when you get printed out, there's like a certain characteristic that stands out. Like he said, like, one was like oversensitive, two was a little paranoid, and three was something else. But the one that went into the chasm and survived, he was Mickey 17. He was number 17. He was the 17th version. And so 18 was in the bed when he got back. And 18 is a little over-aggressive.
Overly aggressive.
Yeah.
But so then they go through everything, and there is a chance for him to go to dinner with Mark Ruffalo, and that's kind of where everything goes south, really.
Yeah, because not only does he do the dirty jobs, they test all the new medications and stuff like that on him. It's like when they got to the planet, they didn't know if the air was safe, so they set him out to go breathe, and yeah, there was a virus in the air, and so they had to spend multiple days making the antivirus.
I thought that it was funny when he goes to the dinner, he thinks he's going to get this fantastic meal, and they're really just trying out something on him.
Yeah, and then they try something else out on him.
And then he gets violently ill, and then they try out a new painkiller. We haven't tested it on anybody yet, so we're going to give it to him. That's basically what he has become. He is a living, printable guinea pig. And so, you know, things go on, and it's actually a different movie than what I've used to seeing. I'll be honest with you in that aspect.
It was like...
doesn't mean that it's bad.
So it's a sci-fi movie, obviously. But it kind of hints on political, religious issues. Not just... Have you ever seen the movie Idiocracy?
Yes.
It's kind of like that. Like the future wise, where
it's like that, but without the electrolytes.
Yeah, it's overcrowded, and everyone's just kind of a little dumb, and so they go off into space. These voyages they're sponsored basically by corporations / churches, and so they're the ones who pay for everything to ship you off into space. On I believe that theirs was a 4-year journey to the new planet.
I believe it was 4 years. Yeah. And so, yeah, he just lives his life as a guinea pig. And I thought the most poignant question that he got asked more than once is, what's it like?
Yeah,
what's it like to die?
He hates it.
He hates it. So, as I said, a different movie. This is actually from the director of Parasite,
mm-hmm.
Who actually won an Oscar for that movie.
Yeah.
So this is a sci-fi movie. It's based on a novel.
Yeah. I will say the pace of this movie is... a little slower.
I was going to say, it starts out really slow at the beginning.
Yeah, and it kind of stays slow. It's usually like an action sci-fi movie. You know, you build up the pace, and, you know, at the end of the movie, everything's just going crazy. That really wasn't the case with this one.
No.
It was more of a slow movie, but it was still a good movie.
It was a good movie. I enjoyed it. Pattinson has a great performance. Ruffalo has a great performance as well.
If he doesn't get an Oscar for this...
He did really, really well in this movie. Some other people, I don't know as though there's anybody else. Like I said, Steven Yeun from The Walking Dead, you would know him. I told my wife that after I watched it, he was kind of a jerk in this movie. So I was kind of glad that Negan caved his head in with a baseball bat in The Walking Dead. But
yeah.
I'm going to give this one, sitting here, I had a preconceived notion last night when I walked out of it. But talking it over, and you know what, I was going to actually give this one 3.5. I'm going to bump it up to 4. I really like this one. This was a good movie.
I like this one. There was a few things that could have been better. There was a few things that were just spot on. I'm going to give this one a solid 4.
Solid 4 from both of us. For Mickey 17 in theaters now, starring Robert Pattinson, Steven Yeun. Mark Ruffalo and Tony Colletti. And I think we've already established next week we'll be doing The Electric State.
Yep.
We'll talk all about that one as well. All right, coming up, since it was a big part of Mickey 17, we're going to talk about movies that deal with cloning when we come back on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, brought to you by the Plan Z Diet.
Hey, idiots. We're back from commercial. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, Segment 2, and action.
Welcome back to another edition of Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, brought to you by the Plan Z Diet. We just got done talking about Mickey 17, the new Robert 17. Pattinson movie. So now we're going to talk about movies where they talk about cloning, or they do cloning in this one. Some of the ones that I just kind of looked up and threw out there, Jurassic Park deals with cloning.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that, but they were dinosaurs.
The dinosaurs were clones. Attack of the Clones, it's in the name, kind of had to say
wow.
it.
Wow.
Right, I know.
You went a little far on that.
I dug
one.
Deep on that one. Gemini Man, that was the Will Smith one. I don't know if you remember that one.
No.
Yeah. See, nobody else did either. And then The Boys from Brazil. I would still love to see this one get remade. This is the one. Have you ever watched this one?
No.
This is the one that takes place down in Argentina, and it's about them trying to clone Hitler. This came out in the 1970s, dude, so you know how great that movie was.
Yeah.
All right, so Ryan and I have each picked one, and we're going to spend some time talking about them, and I'm going to let Ryan kick it off.
Ooh, thank you, Dave. So I know I've talked about this movie before, but it's honestly one of my favorite movies, and it's The Island. Came out in 2005, rated PG-13, it's 2 hours 16 minutes, directed by Michael Bay, so, you know, there's a lot of explosions and beautiful people walking everywhere because that's just how we cast.
That's right.
Yes, I don't know why.
Good for him.
I don't know why I sounded German when I said that.
Good for him.
Yeah. But it stars Scarlett Johansson.
Yay.
Ewan McGregor. Obi-Wan himself. Sean Bean. Steve Buscemi. Now, Steve Buscemi's character is really hysterical in this one. He's not necessarily a doctor, but he works at the facility, and then when they escape, he's what was the space one with the asteroid?
Oh, Armageddon. Yeah,
it's like he's playing the same character he was in that movie in The Island. That kind of
brilliant.
That kind of creepy sleazeball.
But he's kind brilliant.
Of, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So basically, what this movie has to do with cloning is this is a facility that's owned by Sean Bean. Surprisingly, he doesn't die in this movie.
Wow.
I know. Sean Bean not dying in a
survived
movie.
Survived a movie.
I know.
That's crazy.
But basically, the people in this... they're told that there's a virus or a plague or something in the earth, and basically this is one of many sanctuaries that people go and they live their lives, and it's kind of it's not necessarily like a cult, but it's like that kind of community where everyone does what they're told. There's you don't backtalk, you don't question anything. And, you know, you're not supposed to have a relationship at all, but Scarlett Johansson's character and Ewan McGregor's character, they kind of form a relationship that, you know, they keep it hidden. And basically what this facility is for is, so rich people, politicians, people like that, they pay this company to clone themselves. That way, if they need a kidney, if they need a lung, if something happens to them and they need a spare body part, they have it. You know, there's no longer do you have to look for a donor that matches you. You have one. It's your spare. Basically, and the way that they get away with, you know, someone disappearing is there's an island that they say that... unreached by the virus or the plague or whatever it is, and there's a lottery, and if you win the lottery you get to go to the island. Basically, you they take you into this area. They say they have to give you some shots, you know, to make sure you're okay at the island. the shots just basically makes you unconscious, and then they take you into the operating room and they slice you up.
Take you out, whatever they need.
Yep. Well, Ewan McGregor's character and Scarlett Johansson, when they escape, they kind of tell people about, you know, the outside world. And so they plan to eradicate their whole, I guess, class. Because when they grow people, they do it in classes. Like, this is the incoming class of new people. And basically, they're going to burn all of them in a giant furnace, you know?
Okay.
So yeah, it's a really great movie. In the at the end, you know, they free everybody. Give it a watch. It's one of my favorite movies.
And I found you can stream it on Pluto TV right now.
Pluto.
So I also saw something today. It was funny because I knew we were talking about this. Popped up in my news feed. It was a meme that had can't remember who it is, but when this movie was getting going into production. It's stated that Scarlett Johansson was determined to have a scene in this movie where she was topless, and Michael Bay would not allow it. So he draws the line in some places.
I have never heard that.
He draws the line.
I don't know. Well, Scarlett Johansson's the person who paid for her to be created was a model.
There you go.
And so, and she had some sort of, some sort of disease or something where she needed a heart. And so basically her original person ended up dying because Scarlett Johansson escaped.
Oh.
And they end up going to Ewan McGregor's, original host, I guess you could. I don't know what host with that.
I don't know.
Original body.
Primary.
That's what they call it.
That's what they called it in the movie last night.
Primary. and he is just freaking out because he plays like this architect who lives the kind of the swinger lifestyle. His gay, so he lives. He's always in fear of. Getting HIV or something like that, so that's why he has the clone, so he can, I guess, I don't know, I'm not that educated about that.
I gotta watch it again.
But yeah, it's a good movie.
All right, this one that I'm going to talk about, it goes all the way back to 1996.
96.
Multiplicity, rated PG-13, 1 hour 57 minutes. Sadly, you can only rent this one. You can't. It's not offered for free on any streaming pages. It stars Michael Keaton. Let's see, Michael Keaton, and Michael Keaton, Andy McDowell, Eugene Levy, John DeLancey. For those Star Wars or Star Trek fans out there, Q is in this. Directed by Harold Ramis, and Michael Keaton plays a contractor that can just not catch a break when it comes to having time to do certain things. He's got a house that he lives in that is half remodeled and not finished. And it doesn't seem like it's ever going to get finished. He's got a job that requires so much of him. He's got a family that he's trying to take care of. And in one of the first places that they go in the movie, his company is working on this place. And he talks to one of the doctors there and asks what he does. And he says, well, we make time. And they're like, okay, how do you do that? And he goes, we make clones. And about that time, the original doctor comes walking in. And he says, oh, yeah. He goes, this is Doug. And he goes, no, I know Doug. He says, I remember meeting with him about the plans. And the guy goes, well, you were off golfing or something like that. So Doug finally decides that he's going to take the leap. And he creates a clone of himself. And it's kind of along the same lines as Mickey 17, because this clone is a little bit more aggressive than Doug is when it comes to work. Because that's all he created him for, was work. And so then he decides that there are certain things that also need to be done around the house that aren't getting done. So he creates another clone.
And he's sensitive. And
he's very sensitive.
Yeah.
But he does all the cooking and the cleaning around the house.
Yeah,
and
I remember seeing this as a kid, and I'm just like, wow.
And then there's other things that still need to be done around the house. So they actually made a copy of one of the copies. And that's the greatest thing is the number two says, well, you know how when you make a copy of a copy, it's not as crisp? And this guy is needs some help. Let's just put it that way.
Is he special
needs? He's special needs. Let's put it that way. But it all kind of culminates on an evening when Doug has gone on a sailboat to get away to kind of clear his head and figure it out. And unbeknownst to her, the wife sleeps with all three of the clones.
Ooh.
And so everything and everything goes south. And of course, because they're not communicating, the clones are not communicating about what they're talking about with her and all this. So everything kind of gets thrown up in the air. She leaves. And at the end of it, the three of them or four of them get together and they fix the house and save and put Doug's life back together. And then they send off the three of the clones go to Miami or something like that and live happily ever after. Mm-hmm. But it is such a great movie, and there's some funny stuff in here. When it was, you know, this is Michael Keaton. This is even, like, what is that? Right before Batman.
Yeah.
Batman came out in, no.
The first Batman?
No, Batman. This is after Batman.
Yeah, I was going to say, Batman came out in, like,
89, yeah. So this is Michael Keaton. Didn't really have a lot going on at the time, but he still had that comedic timing. Yeah. And you had people like Eugene Levy in this that plays one of his subcontractors that is hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot of fun. It's a fun movie.
If you don't know who Eugene Levy is.
Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
American Pie.
Yeah. It is just such a fun, great movie. If you've never seen it, and I promised Ryan the last time, and I mean it this time, I will sit down and add that one to my list. I need to watch The Island. I will do that. So I will come back to work on Monday and tell you all about The Island.
Okay.
So, but yeah, if you haven't seen Multiplicity or The Island, go check these ones out. They are a lot of fun. And it's
directed by Harold Ramis.
Harold Ramis. How can it be bad? Egon. How can it be bad?
You know what's a cool fun fact about this movie? This is right when they started doing the they were able to use computers to digitally imprint, you know, different people into the same person into the
same
frame.
2 years. This is 2 years after Forrest Gump.
Yeah,
when Forrest Gump did all that kind of stuff. Yep. And you can kind of tell when you watch it, the camera angles. It kind of, because the camera kind of shifts, and it doesn't, like, it's not like a cut shot. It's like the camera pans, and when it gets, it doesn't like slowly fade. It just don't.
Yeah.
It just stops, and you can kind of tell by looking at the camera angles and the way they do
this,
it.
This is also the time where The Parent Trap.
Yeah.
With Lindsay Lohan, right?
Yeah.
And also, I believe, The Nutty Professor?
Could have been.
Right around the same
could
time?
Could have been 95 for The Nutty Professor, yeah. I want to say. But yeah, both of them, great movies. This one's a lot of fun, too. This actually, funny, sad story, Video Vern's.
Mm.
Okay, this was a movie that we rented from Video Vern's, and we ended up keeping it for so long, we just bought the damn thing. It is such a great flick, and I still have it, and it still has the Video Vern sticker on it. All right, when we come back.
Is it a VHS?
It is.
Oh.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk St. Patty's Day movies.
St. Patty's.
So stick around here on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, brought to you by the Plan Z Diet.
All right, in the souls, everyone quiet down. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, segment 3, and action.
All right, one final segment on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review. And since we had our St. Patrick's Day parade in Price today.
Yeah.
Since I was down there announcing my little life away, I thought today's a good day to talk about St. Patrick's Day movies.
Today's going to be a good day.
Today's going to be a good day.
It's in 2 days. So, yeah.
That's right. And also, I promise this is the segment where something is going to happen that has never happened before. Ever. I would be willing to bet.
Uh-oh.
I know. It's quite a statement.
Now I'm intrigued.
So let's get into talking about St. Patrick's Day flicks. And the number one that comes to my mind that I love this movie. I remember watching it as a little kid. And there were parts of this movie that scared the bejesus out of me. Darby O'Gill and the Little People, 1959. This is one of Sean Connery's first movies ever. Yeah. 1 hour, 33 minutes. It's rated G. You can find it streaming on Disney Plus.
The thing I remember two scenes in this movie. The one scene where the king is basically drinking with the caretaker.
Uh-huh.
And then the end scene where Sean Connery is dancing.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah. That was like the only scenes
you,
I can
remember.
You
don't remember the Banshee coming after him?
No.
Oh, man.
Maybe I just blocked that from my memory.
That was too much. It was really too much. But anyway, it deals with a gentleman, an older gentleman that lives in Ireland, of course, who you know, tries to match wits with the king of the leprechauns. Yeah. And get his gold.
Well, he's a caretaker, and then he's basically being replaced by Sean Connery.
Right, but Sean Connery is also kind of interested in the caretaker's daughter.
Well, yeah, it's that kind of movie.
Right.
It wouldn't be Disney movie if it wasn't a love story.
I guess in Europe, it's a caretaker's daughter, not the farmer's daughter, right? Is that how it works out? But no, this is a really good movie. It's a lot of fun. And it's okay for little kids, too. Like I said, it's rated G. It's on Disney Plus right now. If you've never seen it, it's worth a watch. It's going to take an hour and a half out of your life.
Yeah.
So make your kids turn off the video games and watch Darby O'Gill and the Little People. I love that movie. I remember when it was on HBO, and I would look forward to every March because you could watch it then when I was younger. All right, so the next movie is 1952's The Quiet Man. This is 2 hours and 9 minutes long. Yes, they made movies that long back then. This stars John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara and directed, of course, impeccably by John Ford, who actually won an Oscar for this movie for direction.
Was there an intermission in this movie?
No, there was not. John Wayne is a retired American boxer who actually in his final fight kills a gentleman and hangs up his gloves, moves back to his homeland of Ireland, and wants to purchase the land that his family owns and wants to live there, live out the remainder of his days. Unfortunately, there's another gentleman that wants to buy the property, and him and Mr. Wayne butt heads, but John Wayne has the hots for his sister, played by Maureen O'Hara.
Ooh.
And vice versa.
Wait, is...
How could you not?
Is her brother a caretaker?
No, he's not a caretaker. Oh. No, sorry.
Wait, he wants to be because he wants to buy the land.
True. But they also won an Academy Award for cinematography. And this is probably listed, and as far as I'm concerned, it is. But on a lot of lists, it's listed as one of John Wayne's finest acting performances. The Quiet Man. Check it out. It is streaming on Pluto right now. And this movie is one of those movies that is so old. When you look up the rating, it was just approved. Not rated G, not rated PG, it's just approved. So the rating system as it sits now, I guess, didn't come out until like 1968 or something like that.
Oh, yeah, and then it got revamped in the mid-2000s.
Well, it got revamped in the 80s because that's when they added PG-13.
Yeah.
And that Red Dawn is the first PG-13 movie that I can remember coming out. And then you added in the NC-17 there and all those other ones. So, yeah. All right, so this is the part that could be historical. We just got done talking about one of John Wayne's finest films that John Ford won an Academy Award for, The Quiet Man. Now we're going to talk about the movie series Leprechaun.
Get out. You're done, Dave. Get out.
8 movies in this series.
Get out.
Okay, the first one was the best, and you know why.
Because Jennifer Aniston, and you're obsessed with her.
That is correct. This was her second film that she had ever made. The first one, she had a real knack at picking great movies back then. The first movie she ever made was the Paul Rudd often used cut scene of the kid on his wheelchair going into the lake. Mac and Me.
Yep.
She was in Mac and Me. This was another one of her ones. So here's the biggest problem with the Leprechaun movies, and it tells me everything I need to know. Leprechaun 1, 2, and 3 were released in 3 years' time.
Yeah.
One right after the other. That's a sign of a great film.
If you're going to have sequels.
That's the sign of a great film. Get them while you got them, I guess. Number 4 took place in space. Why not?
Okay.
Right? And number 5 was in the hood. Number 6, he went back to the hood. It was so good for him. And then in number 7, every great movie series has to have an origin story, right? Yeah. So number 7 was Origins. And then, of course, 7 movies weren't enough. So in 8, Leprechaun Returns.
Now, I know Warwick Davis played...
In the first six.
In the first... Okay, in the, oh, in the first six.
Yeah, he was not the leprechaun in the last two.
Okay.
And this movie, actually, if any of you, if anybody out there watched Wayne's World or anything like that, became a running gag on Wayne's World between Garth and Wayne. When Wayne would grab the flashlight and put it up to his face and say, "I'm the leprechaun!" Because Garth apparently was afraid of that movie.
Okay.
I don't know. All of these movies are sadly out there. You can watch them all. And that is great. Maybe this you'll appreciate this part. That's going to do it for today's show.
Thank goodness.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in with us. Of course, check out our Facebook page, Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, along with the YouTube channel, Dave and Ryan's Movie Review. Like and subscribe and all those good things. Lots of great new video on there. I'm putting some video up of Man vs. Marvel. Yep. Get that out there. And just get out and have some fun and don't get too bad for St. Patrick's Day, because everybody that's listening needs to go see a movie.